Willie Jackson. Willie, thanks for joining us at the start of Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori. Tēnā koe e hoa.
Tēnā koe e hoa, mihi ana kia tātou, i ako tō tātou reo Māori, e tika ana ki tā whakanui tēnei wiki e hoa. It's always right to celebrate this week, and it's always a special week, so mihi ana to everyone out there who's learning our reo, and Tauta Whiri has a wonderful job for us, you know.
Yeah, it's been great. Difficult times, of course. You're in lockdown level 4 too with us up here in Tāmaki Makaurau, but for our other iwi stations, have gone down a level. We are awaiting news later today regarding whether we'll move down a level or not, but most feeling that we won't. So difficult times, but even so, a neat opportunity to celebrate Te Reo Māori. Your own journey with our reo, Willie, goes back 20, 30 years when you first started doing wānanga. I suppose you maybe in your early 20s when you first started attending those wānanga. So it's been a long journey for you as well, ne?
It's funny you say that. It was actually late 20s. I think it was about 28, 29 when I went to Wānanga or Raukawa. I was always okay with mihi and all that, but whakawhiti kōrero, just one-on-one, having a bit of a kōrero like we are now, was a real struggle. So through Wānanga, I got my, and as well as that, I was starting on Māori radio. So I thought, coming on Māori radio and in the areas that I wanted to work in, I thought I'd better get my reo up to some competence. So was able to do that, but not that I've progressed very, very much. I mean, a bit like, people are saying, oh, yeah, I'm all right speaking Māori. Yeah, should have been probably a lot better if I had put more time into it. But, it's been probably right about it. It's a struggle, because, it's to yourself being a second language person, but I wish I was more, I'm at a level where I can converse, do anything, I suppose, in the reo, but you always, myself and my mate Bernie, we're always a bit insecure because we don't put the time in we should, and we make uppers, but that's life, and there's probably a lot like me, but I also know how important it is, and it's... and I'm so proud of it, and my kids speak it, and my mokopuna speak it, and I suppose I speak it, but I always encourage everyone. We can't all be like Scotty Morrison, Dale, but we can get to some sort of level of competence, and if we can't get there, then we know, we look at our kids, don't we, and we look at our mokopunas, and I am proud of them, and as I'm sure you are proud of your boy, who's a matatau reo, and I'm proud of him too. We can make our contributions everywhere, really. As I said, we all don't have to be like Scotty and Julian, who both you and I are pretty proud of too.
Yeah, very much so. But we have to celebrate those who fought for the language, and even tomorrow when we pause for this Māori language moment. That's on the day that the petition was placed to Parliament. We've got guys like Sid and Tita Whai and just many who weren't language speakers but who fought to create platforms that we've utilised well in the last 30 or 40 years with Kohanga and Kura and the like. But there are some wonderful champions for whom the language was distant and, unattainable. So we pause and reflect on their contribution too.
Oh, without doubt. And my talk about my Uncle Sid and my auntie was the one, Auntie Hannah, who his wife, she was such an integral part of it. None of them were Māori speakers. They had one or two. The main one was, they only had one actually, that crew, and that was Tamaiti. But Uncle and them were not Māori speakers, but they were Māori fighters, if they were fighters for kaupapa and identity. And Auntie Hannah, man, she was, she terrific. I remember those days well because they used to come over home and my father was a native speaker, you see, but, he was, with respect to the old man, he was a dead loss in terms of teaching the language, and Auntie Hannah used to try and speak with him in Māori, and he used to tell her to be quiet. It was too hard on his ears. I mean, what do you say about that with native speakers, Dale? I used to say to the old man later on, gee, you're a terrible teacher, Dad. Funny thing with some of those native speakers were, and even he said were some of the worst teachers. Some, of course, are good teachers. You know, obviously, there's people like Timothy Karetu, but and others, and Parihuia, but some of those ones at the time, they couldn't be bothered with it because it was too tough. And so the best Māori teachers were a lot of second language lot. There's a lot of the second language people, you know, who'd come through. And so, you know, I remember those days well, and very proud of their contribution. People like Titifai and Auntie Hannah, Uncle Sid, you know, Tauda Edwera, you know, people like that who all fronted up. Tama Eti, Vern Winita, I remember those days well, you know. And, you know, we all are beneficiaries from that fight, from people mainly who were not Māori language speakers.
All the best to all in Māori Language Week. Let's share it, use it, be proud of it. And don't forget, you can also be part of the Māori Language Moment, which is on tomorrow at midday. You can find all that sort of focus and sign up to it too through the net. Let's talk about the vaccine scene and COVID, please, Willie, because you know there's been huge criticism that we haven't quite connected with our Māori people in the way that we need to as far as vaccinations are concerned. And we've still got difficulty or having difficulty getting connected with our young people, 24 through 35. I'm surprised that they're not taking this as seriously as others are. But you're in a position of influence. What would you say to our people far and wide listening to Pākehā regarding the vaccination scene, Willie, from a Māori perspective?
Well, we have to get these young ones vaccinated. And so the government could have done a better job. But we, as my cousin Salman Paratata says, he said the other day, don't keep saying the government's got to do it. We got to do it as a family. So, you know, we have to take some responsibility, obviously. We could have probably done a better job. I think we could have done a better job. But one of the hardest things, the hardest group to activate and motivate is are our young people, Dale. Don't we know it, you know? Look at the Māori voting stats. And so we look at how we try and move them across. So we've got, we're going to continue with our campaigns and trying to get them vaccinated. We have worked closely with our Māori providers, and we will continue to do that going forward in terms of, and we've got lots of new ideas, but we've just got to keep at it and come up with more strategies. But also we can't keep giving excuses to young ones, you know, and keep saying, you know, it's the government's fault. We have to move them along, you know. We have to find ways of activating them, as we've tried before in voting, as we've tried before in getting them into mahi, as we must do here. So it's a twofold. It's got to be a twin strategy. We've got to get our act together, and I think we're doing that. And then us and Te Ao Māori have to do something, you know, in terms of it, you know.
So as parents, as grandparents, sort of need to remind them it's not necessarily about them, it's about, you know, the wider picture. And I know that in areas that are familiar to us up here in Tamaki, your Manareo, your Mangere, your Otara, I mean, right in the firing line, the south side there.
We're right in the firing line, aren't we, you know? And, you know, it's around Mangere particularly. So we've got to pick our game up. And I know the work has been done in at Te Puia Marae, at our marae there, at Manurewa, Papakura. So, you know, I just encourage our people to do the business, eh? You know, and keep at them, and we'll try and do what we should be doing at government from a systemic position.
How proud are you of our Māori organisations front-footing this one? We've decided, look, we're going to go testing in workplaces. We'll take vans out into rural roads visiting houses if our kaumātu might be a bit anxious about coming out, establishing drive-through centres at marae. You know, we should be pretty proud of our reaction here. And as you say, it's not always waiting for the call from the capital.
Well, we have to do that. I mean, you know, I don't know if I'm proud. I'm not surprised by it at all. Māori organisations shouldn't be sitting back and not coming up with innovative strategies. They're our people. So we can't have, what do you want, Kiri Tapu Allen to go out on the van and drive them around? Of course, our organisation should be doing it, and it should be part and parcel of what a Māori organisation does. It's what I've done running a Māori organisation, is get out there. That's what we did. We go and pick them up and drag them to school. You know, it's part and parcel of what we do. It's not the government's job to get out there and drag them to the vaccinations. We've got to do everything we can. And so, you know, I think we've got to stop saying how wonderful we are and just do it and stop waiting for the credit, because I would have just thought it's part and parcel of what a Māori organisation does now.
Well, I'm looking out the window here at the wonderful work that's getting done day in and day out with the food bank and support. Obviously, there's a lot of people who are pretty desperate out there, but, you know, we're just mobilising and some funds freed up. You spoke of some last week, an extra mil, $10 million just announced from Carmel Cipollone as well to go into these urgent care packs, food banks, and the like. So there's a bit of support coming in.
The support, and I announced $5 million the other day. So it'll go, we want to look after our community, so we're doing the business with our community. I suppose as we come to an end, it's nice to go to the deal for this week. So, in terms of, this is a lovely week to reflect too on what the language means. So that's why I thought I would just say that, because I'm not sure if you asked me actually, that this is what we are doing is releasing this predictive tool, Dale, which is I think it's going to help, you know, and it's we're calling it He Ara Pautama Mo Te Reo Māori, and it is going to forecast the number of conversational and fluent speakers of the reo from now until 2040, you know, using computer statistics. And I know that doesn't sound too exciting, but it will help in terms of building Māori language speakers, and how will it help it with actually oversee what's happening in our communities and take all the data that we're using in our day-to-day lives and actually able to forecast how many Māori language speakers we'll have by 2040 and all that. And we're hoping for a million speakers by then. So, and one of the things, just before we finish, that He Ara Pautama does show is that for rangatahi, both Māori and non-Māori, having a speaker of the language in your home is the biggest way to get them more likely to speak conversational te reo Māori. So I think that's really interesting, eh, Dale? We're identifying the opportunities to grow the language, and they'll be working closely with Te Mātāwai and Tauru Whiri. And so that's what I think, that just coming back to where we started, I think that if we can put the language there as a tuara or a backstop for our communities, then we will advance.
Yeah, it's an important tool, this one that you're speaking of, Te Ara Pautama Mo Te Reo Māori. And, you know, I spoke with Tane Ka'ai. She'll be joining us in about half an hour's time of a new digital Māori dictionary. That was actually John Moorfield's baby. His son Peter is with the Murumara Foundation. So we're getting a lot of these IT digital accessories, all part of the strategy to revitalise Te Reo Māori, and it's really welcome. It's neat to see another tool here that, as Willie mentioned, can innovate a Te Reo prediction tool as part of the start of Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori. Good stuff, Willie J. Thanks for joining us on the program.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, mate.
Kia ora.
Thanks, Willie.